Last Sunday morning, we looked at a portion of God's Word from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, this morning, we'll look at the same passage of Scripture. Now, the Apostle Paul, who was a true, honest, and faithful preacher of the gospel, so honest that he was beheaded for what he preached. Well, the Apostle Paul said in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17, he said that the preaching of the gospel was no light matter to him. He said, "Did I use lightness? Nor did he use fleshly tactics or purpose things according to the flesh in his word." He said, "I didn't use my own ideas and methods or fleshly tactics and gimmicks." One thing the Apostle Paul did everywhere he went was preach. And the one thing he preached was the gospel. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he said, "I am determined not to know anything among you." And now the Corinthians were scientists, they were philosophers, they were into politics, arts, education. But he said, "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Preaching is what the apostle did, and Christ was who he preached. Then he said in verse 19 of chapter 1, he said, "The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us," that is, by me and Silas and Timothy, "the Son of God was not," the preaching we preach was not yea and nay, he said. It's not yes and no, but he said it is yes, or the Son of God who was preached was in him was yea and amen, or that is certain, sure, absolute, dogmatic, to the glory of God. In other words, he said, when we say God loves someone, we don't mean he'll quit loving them someday. That when we say God chooses somebody, he doesn't reject them in the end. That when we preach that Christ died for his people, we mean his blood actually put away, actually paid for, actually cleanses them from their sin. That it is not an attemptment by Christ, but an atonement by Christ. It is not a down payment on salvation, but full payment. It is not making salvation possible, but making salvation certain for his people. We do not say, yes, God loves you, but no, he might not in the end. We do not say, yes, Christ paid for your sins, but no, you may have to pay for them someday. No, he said, the Son of God, the gospel of Christ crucified, who was preached among you by us, was not yea and nay. Yes, no, maybe, but in him, yea, and all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen, that is certain unto the glory of God. Well, in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, the apostle goes on to say in verse 12, he says, "When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." The Lord opened the door. Did you notice there? He says, "When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel." Do you see that everywhere he goes, he does one thing, preach. And it's one message, Christ. Preach Christ's gospel. Look at verse 14. He says, "Well, thanks be unto God, who or which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Causeth us, that is, he said, me, Silas, Timothy, preachers of the gospel. God always causes us to triumph in Christ, or in the preaching of Christ crucified. I hope you have a Bible. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first letter Paul wrote these people, and we'll see how he began the first letter, the first words out of his mouth, or rather, the Word of God. Now, triumph, Paul said God always causes us, that is, us preachers, to triumph in Christ. You know what triumph means. It means to win, doesn't it? Well, I hear much talk today about winning people to Christ, about successful or winning ministries. Well, I receive in the mail brochure after brochure describing to me successful seminars, in their words, by successful men and women who have won many converts, who have built great buildings, who have grown big churches with great crowds of people. And I quote from one of those very brochures. It says, "A new seminar for church leaders. New ideas about what the church of the present and future must do to retain, attract, and grow the people." New ideas, it says, about what the church of the present and future must do to retain, attract, and grow people. Well, things haven't changed, people. Things haven't changed. For in Acts 17, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, it said about the Athenians, or those people from Athens, that they did nothing more than spend their time in telling or hearing some new thing, some new sign, some new wonder, some new miracle, some new phenomena that they heard about. The metaphysical church, they would say. Some new anointing. Have you got the new, fresh anointing, they would say. Well, let me tell you something from God's Word. There's one thing God Almighty uses to call out His people. One thing God Almighty uses to save a soul. One thing is the power of God He uses to keep people saved, to keep them in His church. One thing He uses to give them growth in grace, and that is the knowledge of Christ. It's His Word. His Word, God's Word, the Word of truth, He specifies. The Gospel. Paul told young Timothy, in his letter to Timothy, he said, "Preach the Word, young Timothy, in season or out." And here in 1 Corinthians, if you turn to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Not that it's foolishness, but rather that the world thinks it's foolishness. He goes on to say in verse 22, the Jews require a sign, or that is religious people, they like a sign, a wonder, a miracle. He says the Greeks seek after wisdom, or that is the educated, the modern philosophers, they want wisdom, they want something intellectual, feed their minds. But verse 23, he says, "We preach Christ crucified, a bloody man hanging on a cross. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block." Well, that's old-fashioned religion. We've heard that before. "Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness." Well, we're above that. That's pagan religion. Verse 24, he says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks," yes, God does save some religious people. Yes, God does save some intellectuals. But he says, "Unto them which are called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Christ crucified. The gospel of Christ crucified is the power of God. Well, it may not. Just preaching Christ crucified, the preaching of the gospel, may not build a mega church, but it'll build God's true church. It may not attract large crowds of people, but I'm telling you, God's sheep will hear His voice. And that's what Paul was saying over here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, when he said, 2 Corinthians 2, 14, he says, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. He says in verse 15, "Why, we're unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are perishing." He said, we're unto God a sweet savor of Christ in saved or perishing people. Doesn't matter whether they're the believers or not. To God, we're a sweet savor when Christ is preached. The outcome doesn't prove the success. Whether men believe or not doesn't alter the truth. And the majority doesn't prove a thing to be true or not. Why, they may have said, as they looked at that man standing in front of that large boat, they may have said, "Why, you only have 8 people in your congregation, Noah? Only 8 people? Not a very successful ministry, is it? Well, look out here, Noah. Look at all those people. God's in that. Look at all those. Everybody can't be wrong." If Noah would speak, he would say, "That's the broad way that leads to destruction. This ark, why, this is the narrow way, the only way that leads to life." And Paul said, God the Father delights to hear one message of God the Son. God the Father loves the smell of His Son. God the Father loves the smell of gospel preaching. Everything else is an abomination to Him. All else is wood, hay, and stubble, and is a stench in His nostrils, the Scripture said. All these buildings and idols and robes and choirs and carrying on, why, all it does is obscure the view of God's Son. It gets in the way. All these preachers, so-called, are stealing the glory from God's Son. And Paul goes on to say in verse 16, he says, we're to one the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. He says we're a savor of death to the dead, our preaching, which many call foolishness, and our reverential, fearful worship is dead to the dead. Why, you're not alive. You're not carrying on. Well, we're preaching the word. To those who are dead in trespasses and sin, the gospel, the truth, the doctrine of sovereign electing, saving mercy and grace is just that, dead doctrine. Preaching? Why, the common saying today is, don't preach at me. But he goes on to say, to the other, that is to the saved, to the alive unto God, we're the savor of life unto life. He says the gospel is a savor of life to them that have it. To them that have life, the gospel gives life. The gospel sustains life. The gospel is life more abundant. And I'm not saying, like some do, I'm living the victorious life. But no, true, alive people say, I'm hearing of the victorious one who is life. And Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? Why, many think so. Everybody's clamoring to get into the preaching business. Well, Paul goes on to say, in conclusion, verse 17, we're not as many, and there are lots of them. Christ said, many false prophets will come. And there are many. He said, we're not as many which corrupt the word of God or deal deceitfully with it, holding back from it, not saying what it does say and adding to what it does say, but as of sincerity, or that is sincerely in the God-honoring, God-glorifying business. But as of God, Paul said in another place, as though God did beseech you by us. In the sight of God, it's He who we are conscious of. Speak we, he said, there's one thing we do, and that is preach. And there's one message we preach. He says, we preach Christ. Well, I hope you heard this message, and I hope you believe it. If you want it on cassette tape, write, and we'll send it to you free of charge. Until next Sunday, good day.